It's a real pleasure to be here. I appreciate Herman opening the church to us. We'd come in to have a tent revival, and Brother John had invited us up this way to a dedication, and I prayed about it and tried to find the mind of the Lord like we always do, and we'd intend to try to set a tent, and yet I felt like we was going to wind up at Cedar View. And when I talked to the Lord a little more about it, I saw that that's what it was. And when the weather went contrary, it was just right to bring us over to Cedar View. And it isn't bad having the tent up here, because really in bringing the tent up here, what I had in mind was to get it on out to Colorado, because we're planning to have a tent meeting out there and maybe build a church in that area. We've already purchased logs for a church in that area. And the Lord has blessed us. We've got about 40 acres out there. Brother John Jameson's been out there for a good little bit. They've asked us to come to a number of churches out there. But I decided the best thing was to just set a tent, and maybe we can get all of them together in the tent. We're glad to see you come and be with us. Every time we've come into this area, we've always had a real good time in the Lord. We've been blessed, and we've met people again and again that's in the gospel, that's been in the gospel for many years. And this time, you know, it's really an unusual thing. I say this so often at our different meetings, but it is true, that the Bible teaches that the steps of a righteous man, that those steps are ordered by the Lord. And that if you will acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, He'll direct your path. And it teaches that we are people that make peace, and all of His ways and all of His paths are peace. And that all of the wisdom that comes down from God is first peaceable and easily to be entreated. I think one of the things that really helped me through my lifetime as to being a minister is when I learned not to make decisions when I'm disturbed. I wait for a peaceable time. And I learned that all of the wisdom that comes from God is first peaceable. You know, I see people, they have problems with trying to understand whether or not that it is God, or whether it is the devil talking. But I don't find any problem with that. You know, the Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And so I'm not afraid of following the wrong fellow. And you shouldn't be either. And we should remember that one way that we can discern or differentiate us between what is right and wrong as to the voices, and that is that all of the wisdom of God that comes down is peaceable. And it's not disturbing, it doesn't hurt you, it doesn't tear you up. It's peaceable and easily to be entreated. Now, when I say it doesn't tear you up, I'm not talking about the devil now. He gets all tore up and he gets confused. And people who serve the devil get tore up and they get confused, because the Bible says that they shall not see when good comes. Maybe you think on this a little bit tonight, but the Bible teaches that light, even great light, has sprang up unto them that sit in the regions of the shadow of death. And that with the coming of this great light, that the world couldn't comprehend this light. And they that are children of intellectual reasoning as to what God refers to as darkness, that they couldn't comprehend this light with all of their intellectual ability, that they could not comprehend that great, wonderful light. Now, the writer said, the true light shineth. And they cannot comprehend light because they are children of darkness. Creatures of darkness, if you've ever been out in the night, I have. I've been way back out along the lake somewhere, or down in the wilderness by myself, when it looked like all the stars would go out, the sun would go out, and wouldn't be nothing there but me and whatever was around there, you know, and the grass and the animals and the creatures of darkness. And when the light goes out, the darkness comes, then, you know, you can see the old hoot owl. He'll begin to hoot a little bit, and his eyes will just glare like gold, you know, staring at you. And those creatures see in the dark. They see in the dark. And that's the way it is with the people of the world. People that are in the world, they cannot see when good comes, because they're creatures of darkness and they cannot see light. See, light is understanding. darkness is ignorance. Paul said, as to the ignorance with you, I would not have you ignorant. You're blinded by the ignorance that is within you. Well, the world is ignorant of the wonderful things of God, and the things of God will not come to a man's spirit. A man, those things that belong to a man will come to a man's spirit, which is within him. But the things of God will only come to the Spirit of God. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you don't get the things of God. So, with this great light shining, now that the true light has come, is ready to translate the church through this wonderful understanding that is called light, even that light that the Bible speaks of that shall be in that great, wonderful, holy city called New Jerusalem, the Lamb, the Word, the great quickening Spirit, as to the Word, the Lamb being the light thereof. And there will be no night in that city. The gates, they will be open by day, and there won't be any night there, so they'll never be closed. So when we think about this light has come unto us. It's the evening time. The Bible said, there shall be light in the evening time. The songwriter said, the path to glory we shall surely find. And it's the evening time, and the evening time light has come. And now that it has come, you as children of light, you can comprehend it. You can comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, and the length. God is a spirit. In the fourth chapter of John, we're told he's a spirit. And Jesus told the woman at the well, said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, for he seeketh such to worship him. Not as the world of today. The world of today, they've got all kind of denominations. They've got all kind of churchism. They've got thousands and millions of followers. But they are intellectual, and all of their church worshiping is intellectual, and it's just a fad. It's to the flesh, and it's exhilaration. But there are those that are spiritual. Paul on one occasion said, I would that you were spiritual. I'd like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. He spoke to the early church and said, you're still babes yet, because he had gone into the revelation of the Lord Jesus, having been caught up into the third heaven, saw things he wasn't even permitted to speak. And he said, you're still babes. You'll just have to desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. But now here we are, way over in the evening time, and folks, we're supposed to be grown up now, and supposed to be ready for that rapturing faith that's going to take us out. And believe you me, this is the truth. Before the living God, as far as I know, the Bible teaches all lies will have their part in the lake of fire. And I wouldn't be any different if I lied to you. But it's the truth, so help me God. I have found out that there is a revelation, a hidden, wonderful mystery of God that Paul spoke of as great as the mystery of godliness. And that the things of God have an end. And it was said in the book of Revelation, at the sounding of the last trump, the mystery of God should be finished. And I found that revelation. It was given to me. And it wasn't until I found that revelation that I came to understand. Though I'd fasted numbers of times, prayed numbers of times, sometimes pray and slobber and cry like a mad dog, just get away and hide somewhere, just crying and screaming unto God where nobody could hear me. And I still didn't have the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Though I preached across the United States, Canada, Mexico, wherever. And we've been privileged to preach around the world in numbers and numbers of places. As a matter of fact, we just come back from Hawaii, having a crusade and preaching in Honolulu, Kona. And then before that, having a glorious crusade down in Egypt, down in Alexandria, Egypt, and Cairo, Egypt. And the Lord really blessed us. In Egypt, thousands of people turned out. But anyway, as to go on with our thought, the light that came to me through the revelation of the Lord Jesus, though I'd prayed, I'd done all the things I knew, reading that Bible, reading that New Testament through, as I've said so many times on my knees, I understood the gospel, I understood to repent, baptize, receive the infilling of the Spirit, I understood there was gifts, I prayed for the sick, I understood many wonderful things, but I didn't really understand the Bible. And you know what? This is the truth before God. As I have traveled around the world with the great, with the small, with all kind of ministers, preaching for the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Catholic, the Pentecostals, the non-denominational, the charismatics, all of them, I have never as of yet found anybody that understood the Bible unless they had a revelation from God. Never. Out of the laity, out of the preachers or whatever, and I've met hundreds of preachers. But there is an understanding, and it is given to you because it is the great light that you must comprehend. Because the church of today in the condition that it's in is not going to make the translation. It's not going to make the rapture. It is in worse shape than it's ever been in the history of mankind. But there is what the Bible refers to as a few. It says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. He called them little flock and said, fear not, a little flock. It is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. And it really is the law and the prophets and little John. Since that time the kingdom has been preached. It's been here with us. We've been preaching it, and men have been pressing their way into it. So, whether we be babes in the Lord or whether we be the grown-ups, whereas the Bible says the parents should lay up for the children, and it says the meat belongs to the strong, they who have by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So whatever we are, then we come to listen to the wonderful Word of God and to talk about Jesus, to sing about Jesus, and to love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Come into church. I hope you don't mind me talking to you just a few minutes like this. Jesus, He really never did do anything but talk to them anyway. He just sat in the boat, talked to them, or sat on the mountainside. We've been in and out in Israel about 10 different times. And we've just sat on the mount where He'd be, or out in the ship, talked to the people of God. And I think maybe we've purchased a place in Israel since we saw you last. Probably some of you get it from the magazine, but we bought a place over in Israel, and the Lord blessed us. We have it paid for. But anyway, what I was saying is that Jesus, He just kind of sat in and talked to them. And a lot of times before I minister, I talk to the people, trying just to get their attention and kind of get them unionized in mind, that when the Holy Spirit begins to speak, then we can all absorb it. Because when a true minister of God comes, and there are true ministers of God in the world, true men of God, when they come for one purpose, and that is to bring you the wonderful Word of God. These words, being spirit and being light, life, light, that great light springing up in the midst of this intellectual darkness of the old tree of knowledge and the educational systems that's corrupted the world, right in the midst of it, this light springs up. And you comprehend it. But the Bible said, those that are in darkness, those that are the wicked, they shall not see when good cometh. The eyes of their understanding. The Bible said, Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes of understanding. It says blinded their eyes, that they cannot see when good comes. But it's referring to eyes of understanding. Understanding, comprehending the height, the depth, the width, and the length. So, coming here as a minister, it is not us speaking, but it is God speaking. And that small, still voice that spoke to Elijah, it is God. And from these words come faith for translation. Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. Before his translation, he had this testimony that it pleased God, Jesus. The Bible said, I do always the things that please my Father. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So, God within His temple, whose temples ye are, and the Bible said that God shall suddenly come to His temple, and He will cause the whole world to come and kneel at your feet and know that He's loved you. And Paul said, they glorify God within me. And so then, a man that is a Christian, a woman that is a Christian, is a great and a mighty thing. They are, and I can say this pretty freely here because we've preached this to you before, but they are gods. They are not human beings. They are gods. And they are eternal. And they can never sin, and they can never die. Talking about children of God now. Children of God can't sin. We preached here before and brought a few of these things out. There's no way that a child of God could ever sin. And that because of that, he can never die, because death is a derivative of sin. And sin is a derivative of the transgression of the law. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. Where there's no transgression, there's no sin. And where there's no sin, there's no death. And you pass from death unto life, and ye shall never come into condemnation. And the Bible says there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the kind of faith that you're going to have. See, that is to say, if we don't comprehend this light, then that means that we won't be going, because the world won't comprehend this light. Though being very religious, they'll never comprehend this light. And we have got to come to a place to where we have a faith of a stability that will not waver, never waver. And the average trend of the world as to what is called Christianity, as to religious affairs, there is no such thing as a stability of not sinning. See, there is no such thing. But Christians, real, genuine Christians, being Christ-like, being called that at Antioch, when they were there preaching the gospel, living like the Lord Jesus. See, we are now Christ-like. We are now Christians. And oh my, the revelation of the Lord and the great mysteries of God. Great is the mystery of God. Paul said, I'm a steward of the mysteries. And the mysteries of God being so great and mighty and so deep and so many. You know, Paul spoke of a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And that at the last trump. Well, anyway, as to say these few little things that I was going to say, we come here to speak to you. And when we go to speak to you, it is Christ. It is Christ on the inside speaking to you to bring to you the wonderful understanding of God. And the righteous shall understand, and the wicked shall not understand. And this light shining, you'll comprehend this light. And the world will not comprehend it. They can quote the Bible. I know people that can. I know one man's called a walking Bible. He's a friend of mine, and he is unbelievable. But the thing is, he still doesn't understand the Bible. He still doesn't understand the Word of God. He quotes it. He's amazing. He just quotes passage after passage. Still doesn't understand it. And they call him the walking Bible. But, you know, God wants us to understand. I remember when I started into the ministry and started with the teachings of the Word of God, and I'd heard people quote the Bible. Whereas, you know, preachers, they quote the Bible every now and then. They quote Scripture. But I started learning to quote the Bible. And I'd read a passage of Scripture, and I'd quote that. And I remember Jesus speaking to me one day, and he said, I don't want you doing that. He said, I didn't call you to quote the Bible. He said, I called you to understand the Bible and understand the Word of God and preach the Word of God. And you know, it kind of shook me up, because I thought, now wait a minute. You know, I should be able to quote this thing. And but the Lord took me to some scriptures where Jesus was preaching. When the Lord was here and he had his ministry and he was preaching the gospel. And he took me to some other places of Paul in different ones. And I found them giving reference back to the Old Testament and quoting Scripture from the Old Testament. And then when I read it, I thought, no, wait a minute. It doesn't read like that in the old Bible. There's something wrong here. That's not verbatim as to a quote. And then I found out that they wasn't quoting it verbatim, not even the Lord Jesus. That what they were doing, they quoted it as it was and brought out the understanding of it. And someone would say, but Brother Pike, that was the Lord. How can you say that? Because that's the way it was. And someone would say, well, he was wrong. If he didn't quote the Scripture verbatim, he was wrong. Oh no, he was the Scripture. He was the Scripture. And besides that, some say, well, Paul surely was. No, he said, it's not me speaking, but it's still Christ, the Word. Not me living, but Christ. And so then I learned something there, and I'm so thankful to God that I did, because I have, by that, come to a place to where, as I said, I've been given the wonderful revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to refer back to a scripture in the first chapter of the book of Romans, the 17th verse. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, for as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I'd like to comment just a little bit on that. We'll try not to hold you long, but we're here for 2 or 3 days if the Lord blesses. And I feel liberty in Herman's church. I've never felt any bondage or binding at any time that I can ever remember preaching in his church. I've always felt at liberty, and I've always said the things that I understood in God speaking. I've never had any problem here at the church, so I don't feel any bondage. I don't feel anything that would keep me from speaking to you. There is one thing that will keep the Holy Spirit from speaking to us all, and that is the lack of hunger and thirsting after the Word of God. And I don't feel a lot of hunger here. I have to be honest with you. I tell my people a lot of times at the church, you know, and they get shook up and then they begin to dig in. And I don't feel a lot of hunger here tonight for the Word. But the world is becoming more complacent all the time, all the churches. Everywhere you go around the world, it isn't just here in America, but everywhere. And they are becoming more complacent all the time. And they're not really praying. They're not really fasting. They're not really trying to live a holiness life, as we say. The Bible said, having your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life. So as to a life of holiness, they're not trying to live a holy life. And if you don't live a holy life, then you don't have any communication with God. Because God is the Spirit of holiness. It doesn't matter if you have a church. It doesn't matter what you do or who you are, how much you give in your offering, how regularly you come to church or how much the minister thinks of you or the laity thinks of you or whatever. It doesn't make any difference at all. If you don't have the Spirit of holiness, you're none of His. And if you don't live a holy life, then you don't have any fellowship with Him because He is the Spirit of holiness. And the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. For how could you see the Lord if He is the Spirit of holiness and He is God, and that's the kind of God He is, and we have to worship Him as the Spirit of holiness and in truth, then what can we say, folks? How are we ever going to see God when He is the Spirit of holiness? The eyes of understanding has to be enlightened just to see God as the Spirit of holiness. You know, a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, it's going to be a sad time when we all get there and stand before God and we look at those wonderful streets of gold and the beautiful gates of pearl, and God says, you can't go in. You don't have to worry about that. You won't ever see that. You'll never see that. See, the Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. If you're not serving God, you're not going to see any gates of pearl and streets of gold. You're never even going to see God. See, the only thing that you've ever seen of God is Jesus, and that's all you'll ever see. But not with us. Not with us. We who comprehend the light, we comprehend the Spirit. And thus we become spiritual beings, not as a living soul, but as a quickening spirit. And you know, trying to preach tonight, it would be utterly impossible to really bring out anything much in a sermon the way we have to preach. But over a period of 2 or 3 nights, we do say a few little things. And a lot of times I find you patiently listening here. And because of that, we're able to say a few things. Because I don't like to keep you long. I'd rather just come in as to a natural thing, preach a little sermon, pray for the sick. I'll let you go home early and then look for you tomorrow night. That's about the way we do it. And make sure that you give a good offering. Which, that's not my routine. That's not my way of life. As a matter of fact, I was thinking when I come here that I thought it would be good if we take the offering and give it to Brother Herman here for the church and for the people here. The church can always use an offering. And I thought it would be real good before we come over here. Now, the Lord supplies my needs abundantly, filled up and overflowing. He supplies my needs. And I'm very grateful. I did find a hunger when we were down in Egypt. It was such a tremendous move of God, of the upper echelon, of the common people. All of them was pouring in until the place was filled up, packed out, a huge place, and all the aisles filled up. And they're in Cairo, and it was moving so that the revival was breaking out in such a tremendous way that they wanted us to get the stadium there. And if we'd have stayed, I believe with all my heart, it would have swept across the entirety of Egypt. And that's the truth from my heart. It was such a great fire burning. And the youth and all was so filled with zeal in moving into the things of God. Now let me say this as just kind of a start off here to see if we can kind of stir up your good listeners. I've got your attention. You're listening real good. But I'm going to feel around to see if we can find a little hunger tonight to get the Lord to speak to us. First of all, as I was talking to a congregation the other night, I made this statement. This will help you all the days of your life. You know, we as preachers, as well as everybody else, and we're glad to see Jerry sitting over there. As preachers, we get a little bit too haughty sometimes. We get a little bit too arrogant sometimes. We get a little bit too self-esteem sometimes. Unless God keeps us in line and mellowizes our heart. And we'll find ourselves lording over God's people if we don't walk with Christ Jesus. Whereas our Lord and Savior washed the feet of the saints, as we say. Or that is, he washed Peter's feet, giving us an example of how we should be. As to submit ourselves one to another and look on the things of another and esteem others better than ourselves, seeking their welfare. See, and I learned this in my Christian experience and in my ministry. You know, we as the ministry and we as the laity, you know, you got deacons and you've got all kinds of people, and a lot of them get to feeling special too. And there's people in the church, they give a little more than somebody else, or they are noticed a little more by the preacher. Oh, they seem to be a little more up in the upper echelon of life, and they get to feeling a little different. And there's a lot of partiality, as we say, in the world today, on jobs and in churches and with preachers and whatever. You know, but I learned one thing. You think as an individual that God will take your part. You say, God, I live holy. I try to live pure. And Father, because I do, I just know your eyes is upon me. And really it is, as the songwriter said, his eyes is upon the sparrow. But you think of it like this. You think, Lord, I know you'll do it for me. Or God, I know you'll bless me. And when it comes to this other fella, you know if it's a matter of choice between us, well, I know you're going to go my way. Come on, folks, that's just the way it is. They have a little saying in the world, tell it like it is. That's the way it is. And it's just something about you and me that does that. Now, someone would say, well, what would that thing be, Brother Pike? It would be the devil. Let's give the Lord a hand. It would be the devil. Self-esteem is of the devil. And Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. And it's that old first birth from Adam, as in Adam all die, and that old intellectual reasoning that causes us to do that, and we don't need to do that. We need to stay away from that and not to give place to Satan. Not at all. So I learned something, and this is what I learned. That as I went down the trail, I learned that God isn't going to do that. He isn't going to. That might be disappointing to some of you, but he isn't going to do that. He isn't going to defend you, and he isn't going to look on you and take your part, and he isn't going to stand for you just because you think that you're better than somebody else. And therefore, I know what I'll be preaching here. But anyway, he isn't going to do that. I know you feel he is. I know I can feel some of that bouncing back at me just as I get started here as the anointing goes to break the yoke. You may be the best of the best as far as you're concerned, and as far as everybody else, they might be saying all kinds of things and flattering you, and they might really mean it from their heart. But folks, he'll never do it. There's never lived an individual that he's ever done it for. He'll never do it for anybody, even the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one thing about Jesus. Being our example, he had to learn obedience by the things he suffered, going by the whipping post and being our example, even unto death on Calvary, growing in favor with man and God. And though he kept the law, every jot and every tittle, he was not justified by it. It never done him a bit of good as far as being justified by it. to begin with. He didn't come down into this world to keep the law so that he could be righteous and justify himself by the law. He had no need to be justified because he was justice himself in a human veil. He didn't come into this world to do anything for himself, and all that he did in the suffering or whatever Jesus did it for me and he did it for you because he had no need to do it for himself. So then we understand Jesus. We understand him. And God never favored his own son as to the flesh to the extent that the Bible said we esteem him smitten of God. Smitten of God, fastened to Calvary. And here the Lord of heaven, God, that is the great eternal spirit. The Lord of heaven is hanging on the cross, and the great heavenly Father is the eternal spirit looking down upon that body and literally pouring out his wrath upon it. I mean pouring out his wrath, his indignation. Can you vision that tonight? I'd like for you to think of that for just a minute. What was God the great spirit doing? What was he doing? He was letting you know and me know how he felt about us. Come on, folks. I said he was letting you and me know just how he felt about us. He wanted us to know that this is the way that I feel about you. Though you feel good about yourself, and though you paint your faces, and though you hang rings in your ears, and you pump your muscles, and you jog, and you put on beautiful clothes, and you spend all kind of money, and you put money in the bank, and you provide social benefits in life, and let the others go hungry, and won't share with your fellow man, and you feel real great and mighty, and lifted up. But this is what I think about you. As in Adam, all die, and judgment is upon all men. And you are the image of the beast, and I hate your image. He said, the thing that's out of wedlock, and in the morning I will despise your image. And sure enough, Calvary came with the breaking of that day star, that light dawning within our hearts, and the true light shining. And when he looked at that image, or would have looked at it, he couldn't look at it because he cannot look upon iniquity. And all of a sudden, that wonderful, glorious Shekinah of heaven was taken away as to the fall of Adam in that image in which we were made as to the likeness of God. It was taken away, and there he saw that beast as it was. When he looked at his son, he saw me and he saw you and he saw all of the world and Jesus being made in the image of man as to the image of that beast. And God brought his power down upon that and the wrath of God down upon that and just literally smote the Lord till the heavens turned black until he was satisfied in spiting that bastard child image. You know, they called him a bastard child, even though he wasn't, but to smite that bastard child image. And Christ Jesus, taking our place at Calvary, became me in death that I might become him in life. And he was delivered to Calvary to be bruised by the Heavenly Father through the submission of allowing these things that I might not be bruised, and to die out of the presence of the Father, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He never done anything in his life, never to be forsaken by God. But because of my sins and because of my image and your sins and your image, he had to die out of the presence of God, or we could never have lived in the presence of God. Delivered to Calvary for my offending and my offenses. And then going down into the chambers of hell to suffer so I wouldn't have to go into the chambers of hell. Conquering death and tasting death for every man is God. Heard the groaning of the prisoners that was bound by the fall of Adam and them that was in the heart of the earth bound and couldn't get out. God, hearing the groaning of the prisoners, looking down from heaven, and in a day accepted as to Calvary, as to the atoning blood, and succored them that was there in that hour. And so then we find ourselves grateful, praising God and giving him glory. And folks, let me tell you, the one thing that the Jews did that really upset God was that more holier than thou. You know, when we do get something from God and when we are walking right and we are living right, all of a sudden, if we're not careful, then we'll find ourselves more holier than thou. And then the Lord withdraws from us because that old evil image of Satan is beginning to raise up his hoary head. See, and if it be of works, as Paul said, then we have a right to boast. We need to lift our heads up. If this thing is of works, then we need to just lift our head up and say, Heavenly Father, I want you to know that I've done it, and I've done it by my strength, and I want you to know that because I'm deserving of the glory. And as Paul said, if Abraham got his justification by works, he hath worth to glory. And it's not reckoned as grace, but as a debt. And God is indebted to us if we pulled out of this thing in that he made us and allowed us to get into this. And the Bible said, and he subjected the creature, which is the body, to vanity. Now, if it is by grace, then I don't have any right to boast. And if it is by the grace of God that he hath given it to me by killing the old bastard child image there at Calvary and bringing me into a life as a quickening spirit, that is to say, the living soul where the life was breathed in the man's nostrils, and there he stood in the image of God as the Shekinah covering of that wonderful glory that was lost through the fall, that image in which we were made. See, if I am that image as to the fallen image, then I am not the image of God until I come into new birth. And that wonderful Shekinah covering is restored. For the Bible said concerning the covering cherubs, Paul said, of which we cannot speak particular. And as to the covering of God, he said to you and I, he said, you cover with a covering, but it's not of me. He put skins on them, and today that same image is still there as to that that's fallen to the beast realm. And he showed at Calvary what he thought about it. So then when we feel high-minded and when we feel special and we feel like we're something that everybody should notice and bow down to and follow, then that proves that we are of the devil, and that proves that we've got the mind of the devil, and it proves that everybody else is far better than we because of our warped up concept of life. See, we should esteem others better than ourselves, for this is the mind the Bible said that ye should have. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that bowed down and washed his fellow man's feet. Let this mind be in you, where the Bible said, and take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your souls. So then we find that in walking with the Lord, the more we walk with the Lord, the more it shows this old creature up that has not yet made the change, and the more that we come to understand the wonderful mind of God, to this extent, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and is the mind of God, and bringing into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus every thought. So that's where we're headed, every thought. And until we can do that, the Lord will not defend us. Remember that now. He will not defend this old body. He hates this thing. From the time that you're born, the Bible said that the spirit of foolishness is found within your heart and bound within your heart. And the first thing that dad, mom has to do is take a rod of correction and begin to drive it from you. So then that means that you've lost that wonderful Shekinah glory. You've lost that wonderful Shekinah covering. And God will not defend you. God will not defend any living human being, because when we take stock, the Bible said all have sinned and all have come short of the glory of God, and that there is none good, no, not one. All have turned to their own way, and all have looked to their own cause for their own gain. And God, the great Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father, hath laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all, and it was he that was bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, by whose stripes ye are healed. Because the Bible says, I, Jesus speaking, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I heal all of your diseases, and I am the Lord God that forgiveth thee, for I forgive all of your iniquities. So then, will he defend me? I learned that he would not. But I learned a secret, that he will defend one thing. There is one thing that God will defend, and that is truth. Paul said to preach the gospel. Jesus said to bear witness of the truth. And Christ is the spirit of truth as to the word. For he said, my words are truth. And He will defend truth. And if truth is within you as to the Spirit of Christ, then He will defend that Spirit. He will defend truth. If that life is made manifest in your mortal genes, He will defend you because you have become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And so then He will defend truth. Wherever He finds truth, He will defend it. He will defend it in your life. He will defend it in my life. He's without respect to person as to money, education, powers, whatever it might be, fame, popularity, dignitaries of the world. But folks, when it comes to the truth, if it's found in a little backwood person, as we say, someone that don't know their ABCs or their 1, 2, 3s, if God, the Heavenly Father, finds truth in your life, He'll defend you and He'll make your enemies be at peace with you. And it doesn't matter which way they come out against you. Though they come out against you one way, I'll make them flee 7 ways before you, and I'll make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. And I'll make your cup run over. And I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. And my blessing will make you rich and won't add any sorrow. And I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. And you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, living water. And you'll bring forth your fruit and your season and your leaves. It won't wither. All right, so then we know where we're going. We know where we've been. We know where we are. See, so finding that this is the way. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way. And finding that this is the way, then we find our way back into the garden of the paradise where the tree of life is. For the Bible said, and this tree shall be in paradise. When it speaks of paradise, where the tree of life is, that means that the garden was paradise because there was the tree of life. And the Lord is trying to restore that. He's trying to eradicate all the impurities out of your life, out of my life, out of the world, and move all of the vomit off of His table. He said it's lukewarm. It's a Laodicean age is coming. And it's an adulterous generation. And He said, I'm going to move the vomit off. All of my tables are full of vomit. He said, you can't eat at the table of devils and eat at the table of God. See, and to be lukewarm, He spewed you out of His mouth, if you're like that, and your vomit on His table. Now, so we find that women, when they paint their faces, hang rings in their ears, and to do all of these kind of things, to be bold in their face, and to be protruding, and to be attractive, that it's the devil. See, because the Bible said the woman should be shamefaced because she's female and the masculine, and she's made for the man, and she's man's glory. And naturally, she's going to attract the man. And they know that. Them demons that's in those bodies, they know that. See, those demon spirits, they're like a man standing on hot coals. And a man standing on hot coals, he's going to stop dancing until he gets off of them. And those demons that's bound in those places, they are tormented and they're looking for a place to go. And they're looking for human bodies, and today they're going into millions of human bodies everywhere. And Lucifer, which is the king of the bottomless pit, he's enlarging his army, and he's taking over the government, and he's taking over the world, and everything that belongs to you and belongs to God. He's taking over your life, and he's parasiting in your body. And you've got to pay for it for allowing him to do that, because when Jesus chose 12, he said, one's a devil. And when you number yourself with the devil and he takes your human body, then you're considered a devil. And when the Spirit got a hold of Peter, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. See, because again, he was numbered with that spirit. And you can have one spirit, you can have two spirits. Like Mary Magdalene, look at the spirits that was in her. 7 devils. And not only that, but then when Jesus came into the land of the Gadarenes and went into this tomb, or this place of tombs, all of a sudden something fierce came running at him, something that could break chains. They couldn't bind him with ropes nor chains. And there stood Legion face to face with the Son of God. And when Jesus said, what is thy name? He said, Legion, said, because we are many. And then they cried out, said, have you come to torment us before our time? Well, that is, are you going to take us out of these bodies? It's not time for that. They knew they had a time coming. But they said, are you going to take us out of this body? As we say bodies when we speak to people. Are you going to cast us out? And preachers do cast out devils. See, and the Bible said, them that believe on the Lord shall cast out devils. So, are you going to cast us out? They said, let us go away into the herd of swine. If we can't have a human body, give us a lower level of life, like the beast there in the garden before Satan got into Adam and Eve. See, a lower level of life, let us go into the swine. But you know, the Bible teaches that those swines had more character about them than a lot of people of today. They ran violently down a steep place into the ocean and perished before they would be taken by devils. That's a lot better than people do today. So then the woman's supposed to be shamefaced. She's not supposed to be protruding, because the reaction of a woman and a man as male and female, it causes adultery. I say this to you again, that you might listen real close. I tell you again, this is a sinful, adulterous generation, because it's out of wedlock. It is Satan and the bastard children, and it is everywhere. I mean, it is unreal in the schools as to the numbers that we've just heard as to the report of them that have been defiled and their lives are messed up. Throwing little ones into the garbage can and doing all kinds of things. Devils and demons in human body, wanting to eat and drink and be famous, have some great prestige in life and a lot of money and social benefits, and don't want a mother. She don't want to raise a child. She wants her hair all curled up, and she wants her lips painted like she's been sucking blood like a vampire. And she, like the Bible said, of the old great horse, said she's drunk off of the blood of the martyrs, and it shows it with her lipstick and whatever, you know. And here her face is bold and protruding when the Lord said shame faces. And in the early life, they put a veil over the woman because she was a type of the church. And the church, having sinned against God, losing the Shekinah glory and the covering, doesn't even have a right to look at him and cannot even see him, because there's a veil of intellectual death that's there between them and God. And they can't even see the Heavenly Father. And He can't see them until they're born again. And then the rending of the veil at Calvary, that veil is rent in twain, and that death veil is taken away. And that separation between that body and that spirit comes. And with that veil being rent, then the Bible said, not seeing as through a glass darkly of the veil of death, but rather seeing face to face, to know even as we're known, to see the Heavenly Father, to see always, Jesus said, the things that my Father does, to watch the Heavenly Father, to hear the voice of the Heavenly Father, to be in the presence of the Heavenly Father, and to have restored unto us in this age as a people that wonderful, wonderful Shekinah covering of that garment that was there in the act of creation. When the Heavenly Father, the Great Spirit, looking at this Christ or this Jesus that was with him before the world ever was, Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joys that I had with thee before the world was. Looking at that body, knowing that that was his very image and that the fullness of God would tabernacle in that body, in the body of his Son here in this world. See, he said, come and let us make man in our own image. And sure enough, that Shekinah glory, that Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, the mind of God, when your name were written in the Lamb's book of life, where Paul used the terms over there, salute my women workers whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life while they were still here and while they were still working. See, for God. So when he said, come and let us make man in our own image, the image came forth. The Shekinah image came forth, and there man was made in that beautiful, wonderful image of the Shekinah glory, and it remained there, and he was called the Son of God. Adam was called the Son of God. But when, through the weakness of the flesh, as to the feminine part, which ye are today because of the fall, the woman only represents what the man really is as to the feminine part, being taken away from the masculine, God gives us a natural allegoric type that we might comprehend to see what the spiritual world is. All of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world being clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we're without excuse. Now, so that Shekinah covering gone, and man found that he'd been taken from the dust, And though God had elevated him to this wonderful place of that Shekinah blessing and the Spirit of God being there to give him paradise and the desire of his heart, all of a sudden he found that that Shekinah was gone. He was no longer the Son of God, but he was the Father of all that died. He was the one that in him all die. So in him all died because of this intellectual brilliance from that spirit of Lucifer that was made the ruler of the darkness, and that is darkness to God. That spirit pressing its way through the beast, even as he does today through the beast part of you, making war, continual warfare with the inner man as to the spirit and the outer man, which is the body. Having a continual warfare pressing upon you, being pressed with necessity, and you relating to the tangible sources of the tangible matter of today. Well, that is to say, all these things that emanated from God as to the garden, as to the act of creation, of to which you related when the Shekinah covering was there, which belonged to you, are all under a curse today. And now the Shekinah covering is gone, and God can't fellowship you except through the blood, through a new birth, as when this Shekinah covering returns as the quickening spirit called Christ to come into your heart, not to this outer man as to an illumination as it was in the garden, but to your spirit to become interwoven with your spirit. And the Bible said, if you have not that quickening spirit, ye are none of his. And with this, the blood on the seat of atonement, to where the grace of God can cover the world once again, to where God can allow for your misdemeanors and the little things of life to treat you like a little babe that just don't know any better, that don't know and don't understand. And he keeps you within his grace and within his blessings until you come to the knowledge of the truth. Once you come to the knowledge of the truth, then no more can you be under the Shekinah covering to the extent of the blood on the seat of atonement unless you're born again and the Holy Spirit as to the Shekinah covering goes into your spirit as to the new birth. Right now, the blood is still on the mercy seat. Revelation 8 is coming off. It's ready to come off. It's just, I wish we had time to go into it and prove it tonight. It's just about ready to come off. And with the coming off, it's the casting out of Lucifer. He's no more in heaven. Remember, Lucifer is in heaven. Right now, he's in heaven. And this is something that's hard to get a hold of when I say this, but I've said it to some of you before, so you'll understand. Remember, Lucifer is in heaven right now. And someone said, well, I don't believe that. Well, tell me now, if you're a Bible scholar, how can he be cast out of heaven if he isn't in heaven? Just stop and think now. Don't just go jump the gun. See, and over in Revelation 12, there he is in heaven. And a lot of times we think we're so sure that we know, and we really don't know as we ought to know. See, we need to know the scriptures. And so he is in heaven. And you know what? Not only is he in heaven, but they that murder and they that kill, steal, cheat, lie, adulterous, they're also in heaven. Someone would say, Brother Pike, you don't mean to tell me that them mean ugly people would be in heaven. Well, let's stop and reason again now. If the mean ugly one that's doing that through the human body is in heaven, why isn't the body in heaven when it doesn't have anything to do with it at all? How is it that it's so much worse than the devil? Let's give the Lord a hand. All right, so then, are they in heaven? As long as that blood is on the seat of atonement, they are in heaven. For the Bible says that Jesus died to take away the sins of the world, not just the sins of the church. And the Bible said that God so loved us while we were yet in our sins that he gave Christ to die for. And before the world ever was, by foreknowledge, elected us unto grace and wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then sent the ministry in the day of our birth and our generation to call us unto him as to the elect. And the Bible says, when Paul preached to them people over there, all of them that were ordained unto eternal life, they believed. And all of them that was not ordained unto eternal life, they did not believe. So then, when we realize this, we come to the understanding that we are the children of God, not by works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. And as the people were kept under the law, even as in the days of Paul, now that faith has come, we're no longer under the tutors. But we are children of God by faith of Jesus Christ, not by your faith. You know, this is another error that people get into. They say, well, by my faith. No, it's not by your faith. God did not give you salvation by your faith. It is true that you became heir to salvation to this extent, that when you believe in your own believing, you become one that is eligible for the salvation of God, which is by works of Jesus Christ through faith of Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks of that faith. And Jesus said, Paul, turn these people from darkness as to their intellectual ignorance unto light, and turn them unto this light, which is the faith by which they're sanctified, even the faith which is in me, Paul. And so then by faith of Jesus Christ, when the seed as to whom the promise was made came as to the promise to Abraham, then Christ, who lived the perfect life and had the perfect unwavering faith, it was brought forth. And not only to us, but the Bible even speaks of them that was under the law, they having died under the law, not having come to perfection. For the Bible said without us they could not be made perfect. They had to rest in their lot. Even Daniel's vision, which was John's revelation, as to that which was in the veil. See, and they had to rest in their lot. And they could not escape that until the Lord Jesus, the seed as to whom the promise was made, even the perfection of our lives, even the perfect one, when that which is perfect has come. And when that came, he went down into the heart of the earth, preached to the souls in prison because they rested there, because they could not be made perfect without us. And when we came on the scene and Jesus came on the scene, he went there and the Bible said he was sent to save them and relieve them from these places of darkness and confines and bring them out of those places into a great paradise of God. And he went to save them that was under the law, to release them from their bondage of the law. And maybe tomorrow night, after we say a few more words here, we're going to close. And maybe tomorrow night, we'll be able to pick up as to where the law comes in to explain what we're saying. But anyway, here we are. See, worshiping the Lord. And the Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And in his mind, he began to transformate like you're doing now as you listen. And as you do, you find yourself in heaven. Remember, the world is also in heaven. But when the blood comes off of the seed of atonement, they won't be in heaven anymore. And I say this so often to again make us awake. You know, we say, I don't believe that, Brother Pike. But the thing is, it is a true fact. See, and when we analyze it to find out how, it's because God, without respect to person, all have sinned, all are corrupt. We say, but Brother Pike, we are the godly people. We are the Christian people. We live a Christian life and God favors us. I told you he didn't. He didn't favor you. You was just as wretched as anybody. Born in iniquity. In iniquity did your mother conceive you. And the thing is, you were just as wretched as anybody. All have corrupted their way. Every man looking for his own gain from his own quarter. So when God gave the grace, he gave it to everybody. And that's how he got you. And he gave it for this reason. Not because he favors the wicked. Even though he says it's not my will that the wicked should perish. Even the wicked, he's so tender. You know, the wicked should not perish, but repent and have everlasting life. And he gave it just for this purpose. Not so the wicked could have grace, while a man will grab a little child by the feet and bash his brains out against the wall, or stab a man to death, or cheat and swindle and hide behind a religious mask. He didn't give it for that. He gave it because there is a people that are elect by what he foreknew they would do. Looking down through the telescope of time, he saw what they would do when they heard the truth, and he wrote their names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He sealed them in and made them elect according to foreknowledge. And Peter said, you are God's elect according to foreknowledge. He elected you unto grace according to what he foreknew about you. And Paul said, and God's elect, nothing can separate him from the love of God. Distress can't do it. He said persecution can't do it. Debts can't do it. The devil can't do it. Powers can't do it. Nothing can't do it. He has sealed you in, and he gave that grace till you could come out from among them in each generation to be a separate people. And just as quick as the last one comes out in the last generation, the Bible said just as quick as Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone came. That's what God thinks about the wicked. And he said, I think this about the wicked. All of their prayers are abomination in my sight. All of their offerings is abomination in my sight. He said, they are like the troubled waters that's ever casting their mire up upon the bank, and I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the face of the earth. So he doesn't love the wicked. As we say, God loves everybody. God doesn't love the wicked. You can be sure of that. I've said it so often. If I was after my son over here with a double-barrel shotgun going to blow his brains out, I couldn't holler, stop, I love you, stop, I love you. You know, if I was going to tear him into pieces, he said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. And all nations that forget God, he said, I'll turn you into hell. All right, so then we understand now again where we're at. See, and I'm trying to find a place to close here with just a few thoughts. See, so that means that God is waiting for us to come out. Come out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. This world is vanity. All is vanity. Vanity, Solomon said, in vexation of the spirit. See, it's all vanity, and it's the lust of the flesh, and it's the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, and the world, and the lust. All of it passes away. Remember that now. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, this world, God's going to preserve it, and God's going to do these things, and God's going to preserve the people, and these kind of things. But remember what I'm telling you now. The Bible said all that is of the world. You don't have anything in the world. Your car, your house, your clothing, your body, all that is in the world, everything you think that is so glorious, these people make such a fuss over Satan that saves the things of the world because he's the God of this world. And it's a lie and vanity, which is a reflection of the real. And it's going to pass away and the real is going to come forth. See, but that's when the blood comes off the seat of atonement. But remember this, that all of those people, when the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, that's the casting out of Lucifer. See, right now, as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, blood life can come into the presence of God. But when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, there'll be no more mercy for blood life. Because that's called the red dragon that's filled with the spirit of Lucifer as to the first birth and that of the dust as to the beast. You are among the beast, and that's why that the world is always tracing their origin back to the beast. They came from the beast in the garden, and that through Adam, as that mind of education that has corrupted the world, the old tree of knowledge, has ring out again and again. Today, your children go to school under the guns. Police say, you go or else. See, and Satan is making sure that he can consolidate his kingdom. So we know that we've been born again, and we know the Shekinah glory as to the image that was lost has come back. And now we cover with a covering that is of him. They cover with a covering that is in the world, but it's Lucifer's covering. It's the vain jingles of vanity and the dazzle and all of the glitter of the world. But folks, not us. Ours is a true glory that is so wonderful that Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that the glory within you, this heavenly treasure and earthen vessel since Calvary, that this great mind of understanding as to the Word that spoke the world into existence and all of the riches and the beauty of all of the creation of God as diamonds and pearls and gold and silver, whatever, that is within your heart, this heavenly treasure, within your earthen vessel. And Paul said, I believe, I'm persuaded to believe that the beggarly elements of this world are not to be compared with these wonderful heavenly treasures as to the glory that will be revealed in you as to one outshining the noonday sun when you are unveiled. So then, when we think of this, we realize that we are children of destiny and we are children that are elect. And I'm going to say this again. I can't explain it tonight, but I will maybe tomorrow night or within the couple of nights we'll be here. But remember, you cannot sin. Remember, everyone is in heaven as long as the blood's on the seat of atonement. And I say so often, with your glitter and glamour and eating and drinking and buying and selling and laughing and talking and going, medical healings and all of these kind of things, if you don't believe that's heaven, you wait till you get to hell. When the man lifted up his eyes and just begged for one little bit of water. And if you don't believe that's heaven, you wait until the tribulation period in the middle of the week when the Bible says that the people that go through there will beg for death to get out of the pain and misery. And that the beast is kingdom. That means you. If you're not born again, that beast has to be killed at Calvary, buried, and that spirit has to be released to go back to God. At death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it, and interwoven with the spirit of Christ to be in that body under the right hand of the Father. That's all that God can look at. He can't look at that old beast. He can't look on iniquity. So then, in heaven, until the blood comes off the seat of atonement and then the expulsion of Satan, because Satan is in the human bodies and is in the days of Job when the people came to present themselves before God as it would be then, and we're looking at it today, then Satan also come. See, so tonight, you that are children of God, that have come with Christ in your heart to present yourselves before God, even as God speaks to you from His temple, God within His temple also be taught of God, even the little children. See, and out of the mouth of babes He'll perfect praise. So here you come, but the sons of Satan come also. The daughters of Satan come also. And that means that Satan is in here too. Just like Judas. See, he is in here too. Those that are practicing the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, and those that have the love of the world within them. And the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father is not there, for He's placed the world within you. And the only way to get it out is to let the kingdom of God come in. The law and the prophets and John, since that time, the kingdom has been preached, being pressed away into it as the spiritual being into the Spirit of Christ. Hid in Christ, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring is of the change of the body and the millennium, that is of all things. And so then that means that Satan comes also. And if the love of the world's in you, then that means the kingdom of God isn't in you. But when the world is put out of you, Satan is cast out of you, and then comes the kingdom of God within you. For the kingdom of God cometh not by observation, as they say here or there, but it is within you, this light, as to comprehending the heights, the depths, the length. And when we think of it as natural people, we're so lost. We are so lost because to us, everything that is not natural, everything that's not physical, as to human physics, then it just ain't real. But folks, you don't realize that everything that you see is a lying vanity, and you are considered a bond child in your first birth, and you are relative to the beggarly elements of this world, which is vanity. And to observe lying vanities is to forsake your own mercy. To observe these things as with your 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain, the listening, as the ears and the rest of your body, as to the human senses, you are a bond child to the beggarly elements of the world because of your human senses that make you relative to it, and you can't escape it. There's no way. From the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. But when you're born of God, Jesus said, you come from the dust and you go back to the dust, Adam. The first man, Adam, we could say. And he came in that image. He said, but I came from heaven. The second man, Adam, the quickening spirit. And I go back to heaven. Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. And if you're born again, you're born of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And you didn't come from the dust. That second man, that new birth, he didn't come from the dust. He came from heaven because He's the bone of that bone and flesh of that flesh that was with the Father that had the joys before the world ever was. And we came from heaven and we go back to heaven. And folks, not only that, but when we wake up, we're going to find out that we're dwelling in heaven. Let's give it a hand. All right, I'm going to say this in closing. A lot of things we'd like to say, but we can't say them tonight. And that is that when the prophet was there, and the little servant thought everything was at a loss. Then the prophet said, open his eyes, Lord. And when his eyes come open, then all of a sudden he saw prancing horses and fiery chariots. And he saw a great mighty army. And the prophet said, don't worry. They that are with us are more than they are. And folks, the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear Him. And you just don't realize how safe you are. All right, let's stand together. I've had a real good time tonight just talking to you a little bit about the Lord. Might have kept you a little long, didn't mean to. But yeah, I believe the water's gone. All right. How many love the Lord? Can you give the Lord a hand? All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. And we'll give you a chance to step out for the Lord. You know, I never will forget, I remember one time when I didn't give altar call. I never will forget. I didn't give altar call. I thought, well, there ain't nobody here wants God. And I was young in my ministry. I said, there ain't nobody here wants God. I mean, that was my feelings. And just as I started out the front door of the church, someone stopped me and said, Brother Pike. I said, yes, sir. They said, why didn't you give altar call? I was at a loss. I didn't know what to say. I said, well, I didn't feel like nobody was wanting to come. He said, I wanted to come. He said, I was waiting for altar call so I could come to God. And it tore me up, folks. And from that time on, I always try to give altar call. Unless I really feel something, you know, I try to give altar call. And tonight, people that are here, they come to hear the Word of God. And they come to grow in the grace and knowledge. You know, I say this a lot of times to folks. Folks, always remember this. If you're waiting for the preacher to come that's going to say what you believe, there ain't no need of you going to church. You've already got it. And there ain't no need of you going to church. See, if I'm just waiting for somebody to preach something I believe, and I say, now that's my man right there, because I believe what he preaches. That ain't the way to do it. See, if that's all you're going to do, you ain't never going to learn nothing else. You ain't never going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, because that's all you'll ever know. Because that's all you're going to listen at. That's all you're going to agree with. Thank you so much, Herman. See, but when you come to church to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to listen. And the Bible said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, and be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools as to your opinion. See, and your thoughts speak louder in heaven than your words do on earth. And listen real close. Listen. Give them more earnest heed at the things you've heard, and take heed how that you hear it, so that you can incorporate it in your life and learn and grow. See, let the preacher say something that you don't know. Someone would say, well, would He do that? If it's God, He said, I'll do a new thing. My mercy is new every day. You don't expect God to come up here. And a century ago, He said something, come up here, and He can't think of nothing else. And He ain't got nothing else. When even in the wilderness, He gave them fresh manna every day. And if you hold over manna and you don't get fresh manna, you know what it'll do? It'll get wormy. Let the preacher preach you a good sermon. And you hold it over and you don't go on and walk in the light. And it'll get wormy. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, surely you're not saying God's Word is going to get wormy. Oh, this is worse than that. The condition worse than that. The Bible said they changed the truth of God into a lie. Can you imagine that? Even worse than the worms. The worms gets into the bread. And you know who the worm is? The Lord said, thy worm, Jacob, I'll help thee. That old intellectual spirit of Satan that's called the serpent or the worm. He savors the things that be of the flesh. And if you stay with just one thing and don't go on to the new thing, then the first news you know, you can quote it, you can sing it, you can tell it, you can talk about it. You know it, you're so intellectual with it that you've done drifted off from God, got cut off, and not going on with the Spirit. And all you've got is an intellectual fad, just like Satan when he stood and quoted the Word to try to kill Jesus with it by taking it out of his context. See, so you don't want to do that. You don't want to write all kind of commentaries and everything else and get away from the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not speaking against commentary. That's fine, you know. But I'm just saying, folks, you don't want to do that. Take what you've got and what's been delivered to you, no matter who has delivered it unto you, and hold it and cherish it. And then keep adding the new to it. Adding the new to it. And now is a great time. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of Almighty God, even to the heavenly places. This heavenly treasure in your earthen vessels. Don't just come then just to hear what somebody has to say about it as to what you think. You listen. Now, you don't have to accept it, but listen. And don't be critical. Listen. and then see if the Holy Spirit will quicken it to you. Go back and check your Bible and see if it's the Word of God. You know, and don't throw away your diamonds and pearls and riches that comes from God, spiritually speaking. Put them in your vessel and keep them. Like a woman with the hope chest. Put them in there because there's a marriage coming about. And you're going to be glad. Let's sing this little chorus together. China the key.
Over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious spirit. Sweep over my soul.
Can you sing that with me now?
For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at His feet, oh sweet Savior, sweep over my soul.
Sing it like this now, women.
For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest. And I'll sail the wild seas no more.
Can you sing with me?
Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved. Evermore I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee.
The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar.
Every hour I need Thee, and I need Thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need Thee.
Sing it like this now.
So don't turn Him away. So turn Him away, for He has come back to your hearts once again. Just let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need Him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear that loving voice. And don't turn Him away.
While we're singing a little chorus or two, the altars are open. And if you'd like to come tonight, you're welcome to come. I like to see everybody come. You know, God has blessed us in our altar calls. And we have never lacked for folks. Wherever in the world that we are. Places like the Philippines, when we saw people come to the altar, multiplied hundreds and hundreds of people. And so many, even as some of them walked across the ramp broke with so many people. And in Africa, thousands of people. And in Egypt, again, multiplied. Hundreds and hundreds of people poured in again. The altars were filled up. And the Lord is doing a great thing. He said, I'll do a new thing. And He's doing a new thing. He's doing a great thing.
And he said, my mercy is new every day. And I want to be part of what he's doing. I want to love him. I want him to love me. And I want him to defend me and stand for me. And I know he won't do it, except it'd be the Spirit of his Son within me, the Spirit of truth. And I want to walk in the truth and serve him in truth and love him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my mind, with all of my strength. I want to love him. And that's the way that you should do. And we should be a light, letting our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Folks, we need some good works. And we need to let that light so shine that men can see the good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Let's sing another little chorus together, can we? I feel the touch of hands so kind and gentle. Sing that with me. They're leading me through paths that I must trod. But I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me, and I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storm clouds come, the dark clouds come, but that won't bother me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. I'll have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me, and I'm sheltered in the arms of love. Soon I shall hear the call from heaven's portals. Come home, my child. Sing that with me. Smile, you must try. Lift your hands up, close your eyes, and tell the Lord that you love him. Can you feel the hands of God tonight? Can you feel tender, gentle hands being sheltered in the wonderful arms of God? He loves you. You are the apple of his eye. And he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye. So lift your hands up. Let's love him tonight. Let's make a new dedication to God. And let's dedicate all that we are, all that we've ever been, all that we're ever going to be, all that we've had, all that we have, and all that we're ever going to have. Let's dedicate our lives and our substance to God, to honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. And the Bible says that your presses shall burst out with new wine. Your barns will be filled with plenty. And God will bless you like you never dreamed. Let the storm clouds rise, the dark clouds come, but they won't bother me. For I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. I'll fall asleep to awaken God's great heaven. Sheltered in the arms. Let's sing this little chorus together. Can you give us a key? I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave his son to die in their stead. And he gave his life on the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank God for his wonderful grace. Chuck, check that thing. Praise God. Bridge over the river someday. See his sweet face. With him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his wonderful grace. Sing it with me now. I read where he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare you a place. Gates of pearl, streets of gold, with pure walls of jasper. Thank the Lord for his marvel. Can you sing with me now? Thank God, there's a bridge over the river someday. I'll see his sweet face. With him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for one more time. Thank God, there's a bridge over the river. Someday I will see his sweet face. With him, I'll abide there forever. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace. I don't need no gold and silver, and I don't need no diamond ring. All I need is the love of Jesus, for to me he's everything. So you can have all the gold and silver, and you can have all the worldly fame. All I want is more of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, praise his name. So you can have all the gold and silver, and you can have all the pretty things. All I need is more of Jesus, for to me he's my everything. Lift your hands up and close your eyes while they're playing on the instruments. Appreciate you being here tonight to worship the Lord. Renewing your covenant with the Lord, going on into the wonderful mysteries of God, that you may have the rapturing faith, because the time of the change is at hand. And you're going to have rapturing faith, and that means faith that cometh by the hearing of the word. You can't get faith through praying. You can't get faith through fasting. You can't get faith by trying to live good. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And what faith is to hear the word and believe what it says. That's faith. Now you can strengthen faith through fasting and praying and living an overcoming life and these other things. But what you want to do is hear that word. There's no need to try to be a Christian. Whether you praise the Lord, whether you fast, whether you shout, whether you go to church, giving the offering, ain't no need to try to get to heaven by doing that. That won't do you any good. You may shout your shoe heels off and you may sing like a canary, but that won't do any good. See, you're saved by faith. Enoch was translated by faith, that he should not see death. And herein, in the word of God, the Bible said the love of God, the life of God, and the faith of Christ is revealed from glory to glory, and from faith to faith is the righteousness of God revealed in this book, because ye are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. And look, listen real close. The Bible says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God, that before Esau and Jacob was ever born into the world, that this wonderful plan of God might stand by grace through faith and not of works, but according to the will and works of God, that it was said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, when the children had not as of yet done any good or evil. But God, looking down through the telescope of time, he saw what would happen. And so then let's get into this thing, and let's find this wonderful word of God that we can come to a stabilization in faith and in grace and in the righteousness of God, to where we don't waver about and realize that true saints of God are forever blessed, having passed from death unto life and cannot sin. We'll talk about it tomorrow night, the good Lord's will, if you're here. And if you want to come and dispute it and bring your Bibles, I think that's wonderful. There's one thing that I ask people to do. Please try to dispute everything I'm saying. If you don't know it and don't understand it, if it bothers you the least bit, and get your Bible and you just read and read and read till you just prove me wrong in everything that you can find in that Bible. And when you get through with the Bible, then you say, well, glory to God, I proved my point. And then you'll walk together, and we'll be fellows. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, man, I like that. Say that again. I felt the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible said, while Peter spake to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them. I felt the Holy Ghost fall then, Brother Herman. I like that. Don't you like that? Can you lift your hands up and praise the Lord? My, I tell you, I feel the presence of God here tonight. That broke the yoke right there. That faith of yours went up. And you believe that when I spoke about the word of God, you believe that. And folks, that's the way it is. He just loves you when you believe. He wants you to do is just believe more and more that you're his, and that he's done the works for you, and that you're going to live holy and pure and godly, not so that you can go to heaven and be righteous, but just the nature of Christ within you won't let you do nothing else. And that you just want to do that because you love him so much. You just want to be like him and love him and do those wonderful things, because if you got that nature, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Lift the hands up one more time and let's praise him while we sing this little chorus together. Can we do it, folks? And I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise. Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes and worship the Lord? The Bible said, examine yourself and see if you're in the faith by the hearing of the word. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood that's washed away. One more time together. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land and time. Can you raise your hand to heaven? That was the Lord. That was the great angel, the mighty angel, the body of Jesus. For time shall be. Can you declare it according to the word? Are you creatures of time? And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. And Peter said, you are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Can you lift your hands up and believe it? Hallelujah. And time shall be no more. Just once again. For time. Be gonna ask Brother Herman come up here. No more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. So then, if that's true, then we're going to do this again. And I, your eyes closed and your hands lifted up as our brother comes.